Welcome back. You should now be standing outside Bond 31 Warehouse on High Street, ready for stage 7 of our walk. This stage takes us to the museum quarter and gives us a chance to look at the old River Wharf.
But first, if you could look over the street, you will see Black Boy. It was first licensed in 1729 and it's Hull's oldest pub. It was also one of the favourite watering holes of the poet Philip Larkin. So, let's now have a look at Bond 31 Warehouse Stairs itself, built in 1828. So if you could turn round and look through the gates, down the stairs, you will see what appears to be warehouses on either side, running down to the river, and the gates at the other end leading to the wharf. This is an excellent example of a 19th century stairs, and has been used on quite a number of films and TV dramas. The buildings on either side as you look down are offices for Hull College and various other small businesses. There is public access to the stairs during office hours, so if the gates are unlocked, it's okay to walk down there. A little further down High Street, but still on the right, you will come to another pair of gates. These provide access to another stair leading to Crowl House, dated 1664. The building itself is not accessible, but the frontage is. And it really is worth a look. And again, if the gates are unlocked, it's okay to walk down there. It really is worthwhile, if you can, to enjoy the atmosphere of mid-18th century Hull. So if you want to take a look, you can stop the guide at this point and start up again when you're back here at Bond 31 Warehouse. As you walk through the stairs, please bear in mind that these are working offices, so please keep as quiet as you can. Okay, so let's carry on with our discovery of High Street. First, look over the other side of the street, next to the Black Boy, set back, is the other entrance to Burnett Avenue. Remember, we covered it on stage 6.
Although it has a rather grand name of Avenue, it is in fact an alley, arranged in an L shape between Scale Lane and here. It shows how commercial buildings had developed in Hull during the early part of the 19th century. We will see another example of this later on in the walk.
Next, we have Dunwell's Forge,
a medieval building rebuilt in the mid-1700s as a shipsmith. However, I'm pleased to say that much of the original internal structure is still there. It's a popular vegetarian restaurant. So, if you could now walk down High Street
and opposite Dunwell's Forge,
and just before you come to the red postbox, you will come to the former Pacific Club, which was the meeting place of Hull's corn and seed merchants, dated 1899. The style is Jacobean Revival, and there's a wealth of detail to be seen. Now next, on the same side, just after the postbox, we have the entrance to Bishop Lane Stathe. This shows how a typical stathe would have looked during the mid-18th century. It is an excellent example of how heavy wrought iron plates were put there, probably around the mid-1700s, by the property owners to stop carts from damaging the walls of their buildings as traders manhandled their goods to the quayside. You will see a number of examples of these wall plates as we walk down High Street. Go on, rub them, give them a tap, and just imagine who's passed down the stairs before you. So, if you could now carry on, staying on the right-hand side and in front of you, you will see a range of warehouses from the early 1800s, some still with their second and third floor loading bays intact. They have now been converted into student accommodation. Over the road, we have another avenue that isn't. A rather over-elaborate commercial property built around 1900, it replaced a previous L-shaped alley.
Now to the left of the avenue is another gated alley. This time the buildings down there have been converted into houses and flats. So if you fancy a tranquil few minutes, then take a little walk down there. But remember to keep as quiet as you can.
Now next we have the Sailmaker's Arms. It has a warm, glowing fire in the winter and a large sun-catching courtyard in the summer. So now back on your side, we have the very grand former Corn Exchange, designed by architect Bellamy and Hardy in 1855. We know this because they have conveniently embossed their name and date across the centre rail of the rather fine wrought iron gates. Corn Exchange now houses Hull and East Riding Museum. We will see the entrance to it just round the next corner. On the other side of the street is the Meister's House, Hull's only National Trust property.
It was rebuilt in 1743 for Henry Meister, a wealthy Hull merchant.
Although quite austere on the outside, the inside reveals a staircase with a delicate wrought iron balustrading leading to a gallery with ornate plasterwork.
The house is occupied by tenants, but if you'd like to take a look, then simply walk up the steps, knock on the door, and they will be pleased to provide you with access.
In contrast to the Meister's House, next door we have the very elaborate Phoenix Chambers, 161 High Street. Built in the 19th century, it is still used for its original intended purpose as office accommodation. Next to Phoenix Chambers is Chapel Lane, and opposite that is the entrance to two of Hull's excellent museums, the Street Life and the East Riding Museum, both well worth a visit.
Please take a look down Chapel Lane. Walk down about 10 metres. It is thought that the cobbles you can see were put there in the late 18th century, perhaps at the same time as Queen Dock was being built. If you look carefully, you will see, on either side, ridges worn into the cobbles. These were probably caused by carriages and carts as they made their way down the street. You may wish to stop the guide at this point just to take a closer look.
We'll be coming back to this area at the end of this stage, so just for now,
please continue along High Street. You'll pass a cafe on your left, and then you'll arrive at Gandhi Way. So please cross over Gandhi Way, but look out for traffic round here. It can come from both directions pretty quickly.
Oh, River Hull, I long to see you. Away, you rolling river. Oh, River Hull, I long to see you. Away, I'm bound away, across the wide Humber shore.
Once over Gandhi Way, look to your right, and you will see Wilberforce House, the birthplace of William Wilberforce, now a museum. I'll tell you more about William Wilberforce when we're back here towards the end of this stage. Next to Wilberforce House is another museum made up of two Georgian houses. We'll get a chance to visit them and all the other museums around here at the end of this stage. So please carry on walking, and again on your right, through a gap in the wall, you'll see Peace Warehouse.
Built in 1745 and extended in 1760. Although now converted into apartments, they have retained all their original features. Joseph Peest was a Dutch merchant who established Hull's first bank in 1754, which eventually became a branch of the Bank of England, and it was thought to be the first bank in Yorkshire and one of only 12 in the country at the time.
Keep on walking until you reach the main road ahead. This is Alfred Gelder Street, and once you're there, please wait a moment.
It was built around 1900 and cut across High Street, isolating the north end of the street. And that's what we're making for. Alfred Gelder Street was part of the main road network through the city until Castle Street A63 was developed.
Now, before we cross over Alfred Gelder Street, please look to your right and you will see Drypool Bridge.
An electrically operated roller lift bridge opened in 1961. Now, on the other side of Drypool Bridge is the district of Drypool. And for the mathematicians among you, it's here in 1834 that John Venn was born, he of the Venn diagram fame. And further east at 371 Holderness Road in 1881, J. Arthur Rank, the film mogul, was born. And even further east, but still in Hull, we have the birthplace of Mick Ronson, lead guitarist with the Spiders from Mars, support group to David Bowie throughout the 70s. Sadly, Mick died of cancer in 1993. You can hear David Bowie's feelings towards Mick on our YouTube link
if you go to the Want to Know More section on our website.
Now please cross over Alfred Gelder Street and make your way to the left-hand pavement of what is known locally as Little High Street. It can be quite busy round here and there's no designated crossing point. Please pause the guide at this point and restart again when you're on the other side of Alfred Gelder Street and standing on the left-hand pavement of High Street. You should now be over Alfred Gelder Street and on the left-hand pavement of High Street. So please walk down about 25 metres and wait a moment. In front of you, across the street, you will see Blade's House, built around 1750 for Benjamin Blade, a merchant and shipbuilder. If you look up at the roofline, you will see, between two chimneys, a small window. Originally, boys were sent up onto the roof to look out for ships sailing up the Humber, so that cargoes could be got ready for loading. By preparing like this, ships could be offloaded and reloaded often within the hour, so that they could be sent back out on the same tide. How's that for 18th century just-in-time management? As you look at the window, it's pretty clear that it's an afterthought. It was installed after three boys were killed falling off the roof while ship spotting. It's difficult for us to imagine the attitude at the time when it took three fatalities before they did anything about it. Please now continue to walk down High Street and stay on the left-hand pavement. The name Benjamin Blade would probably have slipped into obscurity had it not been for the fact that in 1784 his company built the Bethia here on the River Hull. It was later bought by the Royal Navy for the princely sum of £1,950, and they renamed it the Bounty, and the rest, as they say, is history. Blade's House is currently used by the University of Hull as, appropriately enough, their Maritime History Research Centre. Please now continue to walk,
and on your right hand you will see Alexandria Wharf
and a group of rather undistinguished terraced houses. And following them, you will see the front of a very distinguished former dock office, built in 1820. The dock office was the headquarters of the Hull Dock Company until the new dock office, now the Maritime Museum, was opened in 1871. You will notice that the old dock office was originally a five-bay building set around a front entrance with a central triangular pediment. Well, it can't have been big enough because in 1840 three more bays were added to the right-hand side to give us the building we have today. Please now walk past the old dock office and cross over the road towards the River Hull. It's quite quiet round here, but still watch out for traffic. Once you're over the road and beyond the old dock office, look through the fence and you will see the pit lock of what was Queen's Dock. It's now, of course, Queen's Gardens.
Watch out! Bring them out!
Once renovated, this will be the new site of Hull's historic trawler, the Arctic Corsair, together with a purpose-built visitors' centre. If you could now look up at the north wall of the old dock office, you will see why it was built where it was. Every ship that entered and left the dock could be watched over by the dock owners. Okay, so we will now make our way back to the museum quarter. So please cross back over the street, watch out for traffic again, and make your way back to Alfred Gelder Street. In doing so, you will cross over the cul-de-sac named North Wall. This was, as the name suggests, the outer limit to the old town wall.
So, if you could please pause the guide at this point and restart again when you're at the other side of Alfred Gelder Street.
You should now have crossed over Alfred Gelder Street, so please make your way to the left-hand pavement of High Street to where you can see a blue plaque. The plaque is dedicated to Joseph Peast. You'll recall we mentioned him during the Riverside part of the war. This area used to be a complete row of elegant Georgian houses, including that of Joseph Peast. But sadly, most of the area was destroyed, including the other side of High Street, during the Second World War. Fortunately, the next two houses we're going to see did survive. So, if you could please walk further down High Street,
and you will come to the pair of Georgian houses that I mentioned earlier.
You should now be standing outside the front door of a pair of Georgian houses. They were built in 1756 for the tar merchant James Hamilton. What makes them unusual is that they are actually a pair, similar to a modern semi-detached house, which was very unusual in the Georgian period. There are very few examples of this layout from the Georgian period left in the country today. The two houses have now been combined into a museum with rooms displaying costumes, firearms, with displays of Hull silver from the 17th and 18th century, and clocks made in Hull and the East Riding. Like all City Council museums, it's free and well worth a visit. You can access the Georgian houses through the next property we come to, the famous Wilberforce House. So please walk until you reach its entrance. Wilberforce House was probably built in the 1660s. It was originally the official residence of the Governor of Hull.
It was bought by the Wilberforce family in 1730
and stayed in the family until 1832. It opened as a museum in 1906. William Wilberforce is probably Hull's most renowned son. He was born upstairs in this house in 1759 and became the MP for Hull in 1780. It was he who led a group of MPs to push for the abolition of the slave trade. Although he was a small man, only 5'3", he was a great orator. During his final address to Parliament before the vote, it was said many MPs were reduced to tears. Let's hear what he had to say in Parliament on that day.
The slave trade, founded in inequity and carried on as this was, must be abolished. Let the policy be what it might, let the consequences be what they would. I am from this time determined that I would never rest until I have effected its abolition.
It was his efforts that finally led to the Slave Trade Act in 1807, which ended British involvement in the international slave trade.
Please now walk a few metres to the entrance of the Streetlife Museum, and you will see in front of you Oriel Chambers. This is a Grade 2 listed brick building built in 1879. It takes its name from the oriel windows that stand proud of the facade. The building is now part of the University of Hull and houses the Wilberforce Institute for Emancipation and Slavery. Very appropriate being so close to Wilberforce's birthplace. I'm sure he would be delighted to know that his work continues in Hull 170 years after his death.
Okay, So this has brought us back to the museum quarter and the end of stage 7. This may be a good opportunity for you to visit one of our great museums around here. As well as Wilberforce House and the Georgian Museum, there's the street life, covering transport through the ages, and for the right reasons, one of the smelliest museums in the country. And also there's the East Riding Museum, which covers East Yorkshire's history from the Stone Age, and includes Roman mosaics and a 4,000-year-old dugout canoe found buried in the banks of the Humber. So whatever you decide, when you're ready to start the walk again, please come back here outside Wilberforce House and press Stage 8, Wilberforce House, on your handset. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this stage of the walk. If you'd like to let us know what you think about this or any other part of the website, please go to TripAdvisor and enter Whole Heritage Walk and then take it from there. Thank you.